Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Yes, I know I've been away for a while. And I've been away because my speakers and microphone and all that other good stuff has not been working. And today it went kind of crazy until about 2 minutes ago. I do have my girl Mary. Mary, wherever you are, your job was to test and let me know if you can hear me. If people can't hear me, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on. I guess I got to get a new system. I think I'll ask for that for Christmas. May I get a new computer system? Anyway, good morning. I've been away. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. It's so funny. Mary's like, looking for my give a fuck. But it's spelled F-U-K-K. That's for all her white people, right? But anyway, looking for my give a fuck. It's a positive show. It's not necessarily negative whatsoever. But sometimes, you know, I wouldn't say negativity. But sometimes, you know, we talk about some things that could be hurtful. This happens to be episode 59-61. Reason being is I've been off the air for 3 episodes. And again, I was going to do the show by my phone if my desktop didn't come together because I was adamant. Because I love the show and I know my 1,000,000,000 listeners love it too. Anyway, today, a couple people I sent text messages to right before the show. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm going to do today. I don't know what I'm going to talk about, what I'm going to do. We're going to see what's going to happen with that because truly, I do not know what I'm going to say, do. And maybe that's going to be a great show or a disaster, but whatever it is, I'm pushing through. Let's start with that, pushing through. What is that about and why is it connected to the show? There you go. Look at, I got some connections already. For those of you who may have been listening to the show, oh, by the way, I'm the host, Shirley Shepherd. Forgot about that part, right? Anyway, for anyone that knows a little bit about this show, it started with a conversation with my mom and my brother downstairs. My brother sees my mom every Friday. And by the way, if you have parents that are over, you know, I don't care. You should see your parents every week. He comes every Friday. And this particular Friday, I happened to be home. And that's, by the way, when he comes on Friday to see my mom, that's their time. But I snuck in this time and I hung out with them and they were talking politics. I'm sure I can't remember exactly what it was. The bottom line is I tried to interject with my conservativeness and being a Republican and they just wore me out. And they wore me out for good reason because they asked me why I became a conservative or a registered Republican. And I really didn't have more of an answer than because what are you Democrats doing or are you liberals doing, which is not really a strong argument when you go up against my mother and my brother. So anyway, real quick, they're killing it. Anybody, if you know our family, the Bakers, Favors, Brown, Shepherds, whatever, the intelligence is stupid, right? And so they're killing me. I mean, killing me. When it comes to like just, okay, bring it, what you got? And I had nothing. So I started looking at this little nook. We all sit in this little teeny nook, which is so strange. It's like a little bench or whatever, like two chairs actually. I think I would pull up another bench. And I started looking under the bench and my brother said, what are you doing? And I said, looking for my give a fuck. Because I couldn't say it out loud. I was scared. I was scared of people. I'm still scared of my mama. But anyway, so that led to us, of course, laughing, so on and so forth. And my brother, you know, came over the next day, and he gave me the book. I always forget the name of this book. I don't know what is wrong with my brain. But it's The New Earth. And it's by, what's his name? I'll get it together. It's A New Earth Awakening of Your Life's Purpose by Eckhart Tolle. You guys may know that name by the book that he also commissioned, The Power of Now. And first of all, let's all stop. And how many siblings do you go to find out where they are in space and place and time spiritually or religion? You know, just, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I had no idea my brother was so woke is used really strangely these days, so I'm going to define my woke. I was very surprised that my brother was looking into things to make sure that his actions and reactions were going to benefit his life. Let's just put it that way. That's that woke thing. And utilizing that by accepting the past, accepting how we were treated as Black and being a Black man, all that bundled up, and looking for tools to allow him at least that moment to make better decisions, because, you know, society be testing you. And so anyway, I went to him and he gave me the book and I'm like, oh my God, you're woke. You're amazing. And he said, yeah. And it's really funny because he's Big Brother. You know, you never even think Big Brother has to look out of self to be Big Brother, to be perfect or whatever I may have assumed. Anyway, he gave me the book. I read it. If you guys want to read a really good book, and I've talked about this over and over again, A New Earth Awakening of Your Life's Purpose. We all go to a psychiatrist, psychologist. If you don't, you should. We go and we throw it with them and we say, hey, what's wrong with us? Here, fix it. And so they get a year worth of $100,000 of our monies, right, or more, and we still figure it out. So Eckhart Tolle is a very... This particular book by Eckhart Tolle is very amazing, because what it does, when something triggers you, when all of a sudden there's a reaction to it, you can do two things. Continue with that reaction, but if it's not conducive to, you know, well-being of your life, you might want to revisit it and see why it's automatic and see, is there anything you can do about it? Sometimes you take those triggers and say, you know what, doctor, every time I see blue, I get upset. Every time someone says yellow, I get upset. Every time, you know, when you go to them with the awareness of what happens to you on the level that you are aware of, they pull out their tools that they have, you know, they go to school for a long time, doctors, lawyers too, but I'm saying psychiatrists, psychologists, they have a box of tools to help, but they never get a chance to really pull those tools out because no one ever gets to the point of what the fuck they're doing sitting there, because they never even had any guidance as to figure out how to figure, you know, what's going on with me. You know, I know that sounds very strange, but it does make sense. But once you go and you say, you know what, I'm in traffic every day and it triggers something. Or every time someone tells me I have to cook, it triggers something. That's me. Every time I'm at work and I'm asked to do two things at one time, it triggers me, makes me mad. Whoever you're working with can pull out tools. And not only the tools that help you continue to monitor where that automatic reaction is coming from, but also to go back into a place that it may have been a default into your personal character. Now, once you realize that your family, your experience, you know, your environment has a lot of, you know, default effects on you, you don't go back and say, Mama, you did this to me, Daddy, you did this to me, because if they're still alive, they will probably remove your teeth if they're from my parents' generation. But more importantly, you kind of just look at it. And, you know, when you do that, because I do it every single day, I begin to honor and respect my mother and my father, who's passed, my stepfather and my biological father. And I'm like, wow, that's where it comes from. And you don't, why would I attack my mom about, why are you always expecting expectations? Why are you so perfect? Why are you, because she's going to be like, why are you even asking me? Because sometimes default characteristics just fall into play. You don't know. And as a child, I was always wanting this particular love and attention and something. You know, they call me sissy in my family. They still do. And I just wanted that super, super love from mommy. And I'm like, what happened? And then about 10 years ago, we had a talk about it. And she's like, dude, get over it. And ever since then, there's certain things my mom's never going to be able to give me. So I can ride and be like, oh, please, please, please give me this and that. Or I can be true to myself and say, Mom's not going to give me that. That might trigger something, but let me just go back, untrigger that, and accept the fact that it's who she is. But don't get it twisted. I'd be still trying to do stuff to get that approval. And also, she was saying, it's hard for me to give that to you, but I'm very proud of you. Only if she says that's once every 10, 15 years, we have to understand that's probably all I'm going to get. And that is very important, because maybe my mom doesn't know how to show the love. But, you know, a lot of times we go to counseling, or people go to counseling and they want to get back at the person that may have, you know, bestowed upon them based on characteristics or just environmental or just how they treated them. And, you know, you ruined my life. I remember, I think it was a Madea, one of the Madea movies, she was in jail or something like that. She said, leave your parents alone. You're responsible for your life at some level. And I also believe that too. But it doesn't take away from the balls and chains of things that we do that could hinder us or cause us to fear future or just you know, stifle. Okay, I'm making up words. That means I'm really into the show. That even stifles, okay, forget that word. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but just stifles our ability to move forward. And it's little things. Like right now, for instance, I can add something. I don't like the smell of iron and starch. So when I go into the cleaners, I'm just like, oh, I hate the smell. And that's because my grandma used to always iron the neighbor's shirts and things like that. And no, I wasn't embarrassed. Like I didn't even know what poor was. I mean, I was like a proud poor if we were poor. But Grams was always working. She was always ironing, putting the shirts on the little wire hangers. And then at some point, people would start coming to get their clothes. And so Grams really didn't sit down with us until dinner. And then I also noticed some dinners, Grams wouldn't eat with us. Or some mornings when she would buy donuts, and there was me and my two brothers, Grandma didn't eat donuts. And guess what, boys and girls? It's because sometimes there weren't enough donuts, right? The other thing is, like, sometimes Grandma would drink, you know, just lemon water. And I thought, oh, that's nice. No, there was no coffee, right? And so my thing is, Grams is always working, so I hate the smell of that iron stuff. However, I do have my cousin Lee J that loves the smell. In fact, I think he still irons every Sunday or every weekend, and he loves that smell. That to him brought him a different experience, right? And so it's just our experiences and what we take with them and how we rock with them and how we roll with them. And for both of us, I'm sure Lee J and myself, for me, the work was taking her away from me. And I think with Lee J, her doing that work brought, somehow they had a closer connection, right? So Grams didn't really do anything wrong but survive. It was the way in which I interpret it. Still, I cannot stand the smell of starch, just for the record. I don't even take my clothes to the cleaners. I should. I'll throw them away before I get them cleaned. Anyway, so it's things like that. There's one other thing, and I think this bothers me more than a little bit. In fact, there's two other things. I'll get real deep since I didn't have a direction, and now I kind of have a direction for the show. That goes into triggers. So my grandma, we had a liquor store across the street. You guys, oh my God, if you young adults could ever understand how it is to go to the liquor store with a note and they would put everything in the brown bag, liquor, cigarettes, black licorice when it came to the grams, and then they would give us candy, and we really thought we had enough money for candy when we would give them a nickel. Remember those great old days? Anyway, one day, Grams is like, Grandma, I'm calling her Grams today for some reason. Grandma was like, Shirley, can you go across the street and get XYZ for me? And I went, and the door was locked. I didn't get across the street in time. And I was so hurt because Grandma doesn't ask me to do anything because I'm precious. And I felt I'd let her down. I think she's in her grave hearing this right now saying, I think she's in her grave going, baby, wasn't that serious? But for me, I failed her. And I carry that because that's very vivid. I didn't fail Grandma. Grandma could go to the store two blocks down. But as a little kid, I began to take upon me, if someone asked me to do something, I had to do it or I failed them. Let me write that down. I need to talk to my psychiatrist about that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? But I failed her. I thought, no. But how could Grandma adjust that when it was in my mind? How could Grandma even know, I think it was 5, 6, 7, that I was feeling so low? And if she did, she'd pick my hand and go, baby, it's okay, let's walk down to the store. I mean, we are from Sioux City, Iowa. 4x4 blocks really seriously could have taken us to another liquor store. Or Grams could have, you know, Grams, you know, she could walk, believe you me. So these are things sometimes when they trigger you, you just don't know. And then that, who's ever supporting you or your psychiatrist, psychologist, family, whatever, they can say, oh, let's talk about that. Shirley, I release you from that. It's okay. Grandma could have went down the street. I think, actually, I did tell someone that. Like, Grandma probably went down the street and got it, honey. And I think it was something as serious as her black velvet or her cigarettes. Seriously. And I know my grandma needed those things, right? that's what this book is about. When all of a sudden you have these triggers, and those triggers are not conducive to you living an amazing life, or at least making a decision on that next moment, you just sit back and you get them. You go, okay, how does this work? I'm going to tell you guys something I've never told. It's so funny. Really quick, I got to do a side note. One of my favorite persons in the world, I just love him amazingly. I said, oh, I don't know what to talk about with the show. And he says, talk about whether you think the earth is round or flat. That's a heavy conversation. We'll talk about that next week. I don't really know. For all you people who want to, and we might talk about that. I have like a few more minutes. But before I do that, there's one other thing that really triggered me out. And I learned something. I went to go see my regular psychiatrist this weekend. And you know what? People are like, are you crazy? Abso-fucking-lutely. But I get to talk to somebody about it. And it's not crazy. It's just like, what happened in your life? Well, I just realized just very recently, in fact, I saw him on the 22nd, 23rd of September. And we were just revisiting. I hadn't seen him for a while. And he mentioned the word, well, you know, your experiences in your life have been traumatic. So what are you talking about? I haven't had a traumatic experience. What do you mean? I'm going to help people who don't understand. When they think traumatic, I'm thinking limbs being removed. I'm thinking just poo-poom, I'm digging everything. When I was 13 years of age, my mother's second husband committed suicide. Okay. Traumatic within itself. But my sister and I, my stepsister, we were away. We were at a football game, and we heard the mumblings. This is before cell phones, so on and so forth. We heard the mumblings that someone on the hill killed themselves, and we didn't even bother acknowledging each other because we knew. Why did we know? Because before the football game, we're 13. I want everyone to know I'm in 10th grade. We asked to go to the Kennedy football game. And by this time, my father has some mental, I think he was schizophrenic or bipolar. I don't know what he was. But at this point, he carried a gun around a lot, a rifle. And every day or every week, we'd be told when we'd possibly be killed. I think I had a Tuesday. He would just stand us up in front of him and say, Shirley, you know, I'm going to kill you on Tuesday. And I'm like, okay. And my mom would say, Joe, you can kill your kids, not my kids. That's a little deep, right? But I'm thinking nothing of it until just very recently I realized that's trauma. But before we went to the game, Michelle said, Dad, can we go to the Kennedy? Back in the day, football games were where you were. Ooh, let me tell you, especially with my school. We must have been playing a really good school like San Fernando. And so he's in the corner of the hallway, crunched down a little bit, and he has, of course, the rifle next to him, which was a, you know, like a normal thing. And he takes $10 out of his pocket, or he had $10. And my mother, who's in several rooms away, like in the kitchen or something, she yells, Joe, don't give those kids our last $10, right? Who knows what that really meant? But Michelle was like, shit, my sister got that $10, and we ran out the house, and we ran to whatever particular ride we were going to have to the football game. And then we came home, and reality kicked in. And for me, when reality kicked in, I saw that the room that the suicider, he blew his head off next to my mom, it was a mess. There was brains and everything on the wall. And a lot of people crying and doing what you do. And my mom was being questioned by the police department because there had been other things, like my stepfather would threaten to burn up the house and they would come and say, Joe, you can't burn it up. That's arson and things of that nature. Okay. So I come home and my job is to get everyone organized. This doesn't look good. So I begin to wipe the brain matter off the walls. And someone helped me. I think I asked someone to help me get the mattress out. And I continued with, okay, where's mom? Let's take care of this stuff. Other people were like, what the hell? And as I talked to my psychiatrist earlier this week or last week, I said, you know, but I got through it. And man, look at me. I'm doing better this week. He said, yeah. And I'm surprised you're still standing too, Shirley. That was very traumatic. I'm like, what part of it was traumatic? Then I realized, I'm not very good financially. Well, why should I be? The last time money was given to me, the person died. Those are those triggers we're talking about and what comes out when I read this book. I'm afraid of money because something bad happened when I was 13 at a very vulnerable change in life and mind and brain and soul. That was the last thing I said to my stepfather. He was my stepfather for 7 years. It was a very, very influential time, so like 7 to 13, whether I liked him or not. Who likes their stepfather anyway, right? And who likes being told what to do after 10 years old, right? I mean, two. Let's start with that. And, you know, it's bringing up things now because now it's like, wow, what do I do with that, Doc? And for all of you who have been through a traumatic experience, I finally learned something new. You should go to group counseling with others that have traumatic experiences. I'm like, I dealt with this. I go back and forth to that night. I had peace with it. He said, yes, but traumatic experiences can be carried forever. And he said, and as I've been with you for almost, he's only been working with me for like 4 or 5 years, maybe. Other people have been longer, and I've been going to the same clinic, so he knows my records. He said, I just don't know how your resilience. I thought he did share with me it was resilience, but resilience comes from people that really can handle trauma. But I'm always carrying a 10-pound bag of everything before I even get to the store to buy, you know, another bag of potatoes, which is life in general. So that was really, really eye-opening. Well, I called my older brother. I said, bro, situation. And we start laughing. Because I need everyone to know that I date and been with people that have always taken, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily taken care of me, but have, right? I mean, but I'm not as superficial as some may think. The bottom line is, like, if I worked whatever, that would just be my money and everything else was paid for. Let's just put it that way. And that was great, you know, but you got to do a little better than that when you're on your own, right? And even with me being on my own, if I was out a couple of dollars, you know, my mom's still here, I could borrow a couple of dollars, you know, a little bit, and she would help me out, you know, but those days are gone. So wrapping this all up with a concept that I had no idea what I was going to talk about, Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth Awakening of Your Life's Purpose, will have you go back to these things. Let me close on with my stepfather. I can't go back to that day he gave us that $10 bill and we ran. We came back and he was dead. Be wasteful or ignore budget or give everything away to everyone else because that's what I do. If at some point I can get to the point where, Shirley, you're doing this because it's a trigger, and let's work on that. As long as I'm still breathing, I can do that, okay? So the learnings are, and that was some real good private stuff I told you, but I'm sure everyone has gone through a tremendous amount of trauma in their lives, and they don't even know what it looks like or how it shows up, but that's how that showed up. The other thing was back to my grandma. That was really scary because I couldn't fulfill her asking me what to do. So I turned into this A, you know, type A personality, which doesn't mean I'm not a pleaser. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. If I don't do it, I get mad at myself, which gets mad at you. It's a horrible cycle that I had been living for years. And then I met a man who I knew when I was 23 and came back into my life about maybe 7, 8 years ago and knows my heart and my soul better than I do. And if you're lucky enough to have a friend that can come and say, you know what, I'm going to watch you evolve into what I see of you without dictating how it's going to be done, but just knowing with the right words, with the right guidance, or even not, just care, unconditional, I'm here. What can happen? And I must say, I am a better person because I had a lot going on. Ooh. But I see my bestie, one of my besties. I can't say you're my complete bestie because all my Black friends get mad. But Mary's on the line. Let me see if she wants to come in, and I'm going to unmute her. Let's see. Mary, are you there? Can you talk?
I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, shit, my show almost over when I sent you a text talking about let me know if I can hear be heard. You can't rely on Black people. Oh, you're white.
I was. What? What did you say?
I said you can't rely. You can't rely on Black people. I'm like, shit, you're white. I forgot. You know, you white people are supposed to be on it.
Girl, I was on it, all right. I was on my dreams. I was tired.
Aw. How are you? You doing? Are you going to do your show today?
Yeah, I'm doing my show today.
Okay. Why were you tired? You had a nice weekend? Ooh. What'd you do?
Actually, you know, I haven't done really too much this weekend. I just was up late. I couldn't sleep. Doing some reading and stuff for my show today. So just one of those weekends.
I know, and we didn't chat last week, so I don't know what the hell's going on with you, but we'll catch up with that. I hope you heard some of my show, and as a person that has experienced a lot than you in your life, you do believe that things you've been exposed to can trigger reaction, correct?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? And some of those, let's just go into your show so you can plug it because I have 3 minutes. But some of those reactions and inactions can also internally affect the happenings of your life and lead to diseases like cancer, correct?
Most definitely. And actually, we are going to talk about something. We're going to touch on that today on the show. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and just search Mary Had a Little Cancer. Every Sunday we're on at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are going to talk about we're going to talk about emotions and feelings and how those things can have a physiological effect on you as well as the obvious emotional and mental effect. I went back and listened to some of my first shows and how emotional mm-hmm. I was. And I think I lost touch mm-hmm. with how emotional that really was. And I'm glad that mm-hmm. I went back and listened to them.
Okay, yeah, it was a traumatic experience. You just rocked through it. I remember when we first started talking about you were a rock star. I'm like, what the fuck? You were just a rock star with this. And now I'm glad you're going back just to put it together because you got through because of resilience, but it was a traumatic experience. And as I talked about on my show, there are certain means of treatment that people need. You know, being diagnosed with, you know, cancer's traumatic, just for the record. Anyway,
that's
fear. I know.
It's all about dealing with fear.
That's scary. I know. I'm even, you know, as I get older, every time I, you know, we'll talk about that on your show. Okay, everyone.
Okay.
I have 1 minute. Again, Mary Had a Little Cancer. She's on the J. King Network. Let me make this easier for you guys. You go to blogtalkradio.com. You click in J. King Network. And whatever show is live that moment, you'll see live on it. If you keep going down and searching, you will see Mary's show in the archives. He has a morning show also that I sometimes listen to because everybody's crazy, and Mary's one of the hosts. Mary, thank you for calling in. I'm going to close out my show, and I'll be listening at 11, okay? I definitely will. Okay, you guys, 43 seconds. I did it. I woke up without knowing if my system was going to work. I didn't have a topic. If sometimes when we're in situations like that, we dig from our true selves, like I did, you know, a good show shows up or a good message. Let's not get lost on that. That's pretty fudge and good information there. Well, until next week, you guys, I'm about to sign off. And I want everyone to be reminded to always make good memories. Have a great week.